Good morning, Powhatan Church. I'm glad to hear you beeping those horns. I hope everything's coming through. And I know this is a little bit unusual, but welcome to our sunrise service for 2020. I have no doubt that this is a sunrise service that you'll talk about for years to come. This is a little different. We're not out in the opening or in the open as we normally are. You're sitting in your vehicles, or I would imagine there's a lot of people this morning that are joining from somewhere else, probably still in their pajamas with a hot cup of coffee. And it's a different kind of sunrise service. But church, I want you to know this. Not one of those things changes the good news of this day. Not one of those things changes the good news that we celebrate this morning. We celebrate this day because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive and well. The tomb is empty. He's risen from the dead and he's alive forevermore. Praise God for his wonderful blessing of the tomb. Would you join me in prayers? We ask God's blessings on our service this morning. Father, as we come here this morning together, whether we're sitting in our vehicles or whether we're sitting in our homes, Father, we're still together. And in the stillness and the coolness of this morning, Father, we remember that Resurrection Sunday. We remember, Father, that the tomb could not hold your son Jesus, that the stone was rolled away and he emerged alive and victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we have hope today. Father, I pray that as we go through this day, you would make this day, although different than any other that we have ever faced on Easter, that you would make this day something very special for us that we would remember for years to come. We praise you, Father, that the tomb is empty, and thank you for the gift of hope that we find in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask it all in his precious and holy name. Amen. I got a little bit of trivia for you. Did you know that in 1773, the very first American sunrise service was held right here in North Carolina? It was actually held in Winston-Salem. It was actually an Easter Mass that was put on by the Moravians there in Winston-Salem. They're still very prevalent there. But the service was designed to mark the day that Mary and the other women came to the tomb of Jesus and found it empty. Even though today is going to be a little bit different, it's already different. We normally come together this morning. I've normally already been to Raleigh and got Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm sorry, we don't have Krispy Kreme this morning. I'm sorry. Next year, you're going to have twice that, I promise you. But we normally have a breakfast. There are Bojangle biscuits. We have coffee. We have juice. We have fellowship with each other. We hug and we shake hands. We're not able to do any of that this year. When we come together at our 11 o'clock service, we hug and we shake hands and we celebrate together and we smile and we laugh and we raise our hands because the grave is empty and Jesus arose and we participate in communion. Our deacons pass those elements out to you. That won't happen today. We're asking you to bring those and have those in the car with you, or if you're listening remotely, have those with you so we can celebrate together. So today is going to be a little unusual. It's going to be a little bit unorthodox, but we are going to continue to celebrate that tradition of Easter today, celebrating the day that Jesus arose, the most glorious event in human history. We come together this morning to celebrate the fact that Christ is alive. He's risen. We celebrate our salvation. We celebrate the forgiveness of sin that He offers. We celebrate the victory over death, knowing that death in this life is not the end. We celebrate eternal life. That's just a few of the things that we celebrate because Jesus rose from the dead. We come here this morning, you know, they're forecasting some bad weather later this afternoon and into tonight and tomorrow. But what a beautiful morning. If you look over here this way, what a beautiful sunrise we see this morning. I can only imagine the joy that Mary and the other women, when they came to the grave of Jesus that morning and they learned of His resurrection, I can almost only imagine the joy that they feel, that they felt that morning, because not too many hours before that, they had mourned the death of Jesus. But praise God, when they saw that stone rolled away, their mourning turned to joy on that first Easter. If to really get a good picture of what happened this Easter, you really have to look at all four Gospels. And my scripture this morning actually comes from John chapter 20. And I'll just forewarn you, you're going to hear some of the same scripture at 11 because I really like the way John brings out the events of that resurrection Sunday. The first day of the week cometh, and Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple who Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first into the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and they had spoken all these things unto her. Can you ever thought what would they have felt if they had gotten to the tomb that morning and that stone had still been in place? What if that stone had not been rolled away? What if Jesus was still in the grave? Have you ever thought about what it would have been like on the earth between that Good Friday when Jesus was killed to that Sunday morning when he arose from the dead. Have you ever thought about what those days were like? I mean, we take for granted today. I got up this morning, and you know what? When I got up this morning, the very first thing I thought about, because it's Easter, was, you know what? My Jesus is alive. That's the very first thing I thought about. But I guarantee you, tomorrow morning, when it's Monday, and all the pressures of what Monday is going to bring are standing in front of me, the first thought in my mind when I get up is probably not going to be, Jesus is alive. It should be, but it probably won't. We take that for granted. Can you imagine 2 days, 3 days on this earth where Jesus was dead? What if they had gotten to the tomb that morning and the stone was still there? What would they have felt like? I got to tell you, I thought about Job in the Bible. Job lost everything. He lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his belongings. And then he lost his family. Everything he had, everything he loved, had been killed and destroyed. And Job felt a lot probably like we would. Job said, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet though the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man dieth and give up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep." If we had came to the garden that morning and saw the tomb still sealed, maybe we would have thought, is that all there is? Is that all we've got to look forward to? Like Job said, to just lie down and die and rise no more. If we thought that, then we could say the same words as the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If that stone, church, had not been rolled away, then those visitors to the tomb that morning would have been pretty miserable. But praise God, the stone was not in place. It was rolled away. So I wanted to ask this question this morning. Why was that stone rolled away? And you may be thinking, you know what, Pastor, that's a pretty stupid question, because the stone was rolled away because Jesus came out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away because he was risen. But I got to tell you, I don't think that's the reason the stone was rolled away. After all, if you look at what happened later in the evening, John says that the same evening, the first day of the week, they were in a room, all the disciples, with the doors shut, with the windows locked, and guess who showed up? Jesus. Jesus didn't need a door to get in. And if he didn't need a door to get in, I don't believe he needed the stone rolled away to get out of the tomb. Jesus came into a room where the doors and the windows were locked shut. He just walked right on in. And if he could do that, certainly he could have came out of the tomb with the stone still in place. You see, church, I don't believe the stone was rolled away for him to come out. I guarantee you that. Whatever the nature of his resurrected holy body, he didn't need a door. No wall could hold him in. No stone could keep him in. No grave could hold his body down. I don't believe the stone was rolled away for Jesus to get out. The stone was rolled away that morning, folks, so that the visitors to the tomb could go in. The open tomb was not the means of his exit. It was the means of their entrance to that tomb. The women went in and they saw Jesus wasn't there. Peter and John ran to the tomb and saw the same thing. God rolled away that stone, not so Jesus could rise, but so we could see, even today, that the tomb is empty and he is arisen. That open tomb makes it possible for us to go in, to see those discarded grave clothes that he didn't need any longer, to see that he's not there. That's why the stone was rolled away. God came down and rolled that stone away so we could look in. It was rolled away so the empty tomb could be visible to everyone. The empty tomb is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Cynics, critics, atheists, they have all tried to explain it away. But that empty tomb stands as evidence that my Jesus is not dead. My Jesus is alive. We can look inside that dark, empty tomb to see if Jesus is there. And hallelujah, church, he's not there. He's not there. Christ is risen. He is alive. I want you to be happy in that this morning. There's so much bad in the world right now. I guarantee you, if we go home and we turn on Fox or CNN or MSNBC, they're going to be talking about this virus. And guess what? More people have died in the last 24 hours than there were 24 hours ago. People continue to die from this. There's a lot of things wrong in this world, but I want you to be happy this morning, folks. Church, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. My King reigns. Because of that resurrection, you and I have got new life. New life as a believer in Christ and a future in heaven in the presence of Almighty God that is never going to end. I read you a little passage from Job after he lost everything. And Job felt pretty much probably like we would have if we had been through that. We would have been pretty low. But as Job goes through his trial and he is reminded that God is still on the throne, Job's whole attitude changes. And look what he says a little later in his book. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin is destroyed in this body, yet my flesh shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." The resurrection of Jesus Christ caused those that visited the tomb that morning to run and tell the rest of Jesus' followers about what they saw. Do you know how that needs to affect us, church? We need to tell somebody. We need to tell somebody. For those of us as Christians, for those of us with resurrection faith, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is arisen, and we need to be able to share that joy of our faith with others every day of our life. He is risen. Every day of our life, we should say it. We should shout it. We should sing it. We should share it with others. Every day, we should be able to stand up and sing the words of that old hymn, Christ arose. There's a song, a contemporary Christian song, and the chorus goes like this. It says, "Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day." Church, be happy in the fact this morning that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive, and he is alive forevermore. Thank God for his unspeakable blessings on us all. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we lift our hearts to you this morning. As we stand here in this crisp morning air and as the dawn breaks, Father, may we carry the unity that we share into every moment, knowing that we are one with the risen Christ. Lord, we lift our eyes to you. And as the sun rises, Father, may this moment stay with us, reminding us to look for the beautiful promises that are in your word. Lord, we lift up our prayers to you. Father, we breathe this morning in, and we know that like the earth, you sustain us and you keep us and you work with us at all times. And so, Father, we lift our voices to you. Father, we celebrate the greatest day in history when Jesus rose from death, defeated darkness, and bathed this entire world in the light of the resurrection. Father, may we ever live to praise you, and may our song ever be, "Jesus is alive, alive forevermore." Amen. Church, I look forward to connecting with you at 11 o'clock this morning at our drive-in Easter service and communion. So no matter where you may be, I hope you can come back. But please remember to have some water or juice or soda or whatever you need, and a cracker or a small piece of bread as we observe the Lord's Supper together in remembrance of him. God bless you all, and I'll see you in a few hours. God bless you. God bless you.